We are going to have a banger of a show. If you've been following me, I know you've been following me on the show. You just saw the updated intro for The Big Ticket Life. And I'm so honored to have had that intro debut with my guest this week, because Jay Izzo is somebody that is podcasting on a whole other level. It's really kind of divine, in my opinion, the way this all came together. My amazing producer, Chris, at Cast Ahead, you know, he is the guy if you want to do a podcast show. He is just an incredible resource. And there's the only way I've been able to do what I've done and bring in the amazing people, which you just saw in the intro. I mean, that just under 3 minutes of intro, you could repeat that each and every week and like have a little tune up to your day. And so, man, I'm just so honored to have Chris be a part of my life, all those guests past be a part of my life, and today's guest, the one, the only, Jay Izzo, join me on the show. Jay, welcome to the show.
How you doing, brother, man? It's great to be with you again. I love being with you.
It is. We threw down a couple weeks back, and here we are today. You're joining me on my show. Thank you for taking out the time. Appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. You have a great story. You have a great book, by the way. It's called Space for Leadership. It's a great book. I read this thing a couple times, and I'm just telling you, it's a powerful book. I can't promote it enough. I tried. I've tried.
Yes, you did. You know, that's kind of where I wanted to open up the show. Thank you for the shout out on the book. Your show has garnered a lot of success. And I don't want to really spend our time talking about the ins and outs of podcasting, because there's tons of people that do that and focus on that. You know, you're focused on success for those you coach in life and in business. I think we're going to throw down on our God-given talents and that connection to faith that we both share deeply in our own ways. But the one thing that I think we can touch on in relation to podcasting is focus, right? And there's a lot of dividends that come from focus in life. And, you know, your show, A New Direction, has this amazing distribution machine behind it. And so let's just kick it off. Like, you know, give us the cliff notes of how you dialed into that focus and have this amazing distribution machine behind A New Direction.
Well, thank you for saying all those things. We're still growing, you know, we're still trying to figure it out. But there are some things I could take advantage of, that I got, some I accidentally walked into, some were given to me from people who were already in radio and giving me some tips here. So, you know, we started doing stuff on what we call low-ams and low-pams, right? For people who don't know what that is, that's low-power AM and FM radio stations. And we started expanding our network in that way, getting on all these stations across the country. And it was a great way for us to get distribution and a great way to gather more listenership, because for my niche market, since I interview authors of books on leadership and success in life and in business, the people who listen to those stations are my niche market. And so they calculate my downloads. And so we get like 112,000 plus downloads per episode on these stations. And so that's kind of, I learned about that from a radio station. And then I hired an agent who I wanted to do this professionally. I thought that's what I wanted to do. And, which I am, I guess, to an extent. And he ended up taking his group of people who were already doing this and turned it into a TV station called DBTV, which reaches, listen, if you've got a Roku device, if you've got a Amazon Fire device, it's on cable systems in countries around the world. We just get a ton of listenerships, and I do a couple TV shows for him. So I started doing this, and then we keep growing the podcast network. I found who hosts my podcast. I found some place that does great distribution. Can I say their name? Is it okay to say their name?
Yeah. Okay. 100%.
Okay. It's called Blueberry, Blubrry. And their ease of distribution to all these podcasting scrapers, and I think we're on like 250 of them. And we're able to just get ourselves out there. And what's interesting, I'm going to say this too about podcasting. I have a very small niche. Right. Okay. I was at Independent Book Publishers Association conference years ago. Wharton College came out, and I interview authors. And here's the thing. According to their statistics from Wharton College, there are only 83 million people in the United States that actually buy books.
Hmm.
Of the people who are considered avid readers, there's only 33 million.
Okay.
Of that 33 million, less than half are into nonfiction.
That's just as a little side note. I'm a big fan and believer, and I look for the 80-20 rule everywhere in life.
Right.
So it's the fractal layers of the 80-20 rule, that 15% number is, you go down three steps, it's that number.
Right. And so that's
exactly.
Yeah, that's my group of people. So I know, for instance, because we're doing books and we're doing authors, that I'm already limited. But I'm okay with that because, you know, we've been doing statistical research. My average, you know, the average income of people who listen to my show is over $150,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
All, you know, they're educated. It's 50-50 women to men. They're mostly, you know, entrepreneurs, C-suite professionals and salespeople. So I'm hitting the right audience.
Right.
And I'm okay there. And you know what? It's not going to be explosive, but that's not why you and I are in this business. The reason why you and I, this is part of our business model, is because we know that we have a message that we want to get out to people, and we want to help them move just a little bit towards it. And for me, a new direction so that they can be more successful in their life and their business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I said recently with my show, on recent episodes that, you know, we're pivoting the direction of the show. And really the reality is it's a failure on me to not have that focus because my intro shows that I've had a string of amazing people. And it's my job to better extract those living examples of courage moments, because that's what our world needs. We're a broken world, and we need more people to exhibit courage to help heal the world. And that's the mission that I'm on personally. But this show's about you, right? And so back to the focus, like, I love how you're, you know, there's riches and niches. I'm sure you've heard that. I love how your focus is on authorship. And a little inside ball, Jay just doesn't, like, if you have a book, you just don't get on Jay's show. We could, if we wanted to, bring up our Podmatch exchange. And, you know, truth be told, I was nervous as heck to reach out to Jay, because I could tell from his listing, he's a pro. I could tell that he really delivers value in this world. And, you know, I had a couple hiccups in the proofing process, and I wanted to make sure what I sent you was right. And you were so gracious. You're like, yep, you get it to me. And little did I know, you know, the expert that you are, but, you know, you don't just allow anybody on your show. And so that focus and intentionality, well, yeah, you're speaking to 15 million. You're speaking to 15 million people. And it's fantastic. So that power of focus, where else has that paid off for you in your business and in the way you help people?
Well, isn't that interesting that you use that word focus? Because I was largely unfocused for a good portion of my life. Mm-hmm. And not sure what I was going to do, because there's people out there probably like me who were told, oh, you're so talented. God, you're so talented. You have so many talents and abilities. You know, you should be doing all sorts of things, right? And the fact of the matter is, everybody would refer to me as a Renaissance guy, mm-hmm. right? Because I could do so many things. Well, let me tell you the problem with that, being multi-talented. You don't know what to do. So you do a whole bunch of things. And I actually found myself getting into a point of depression because I couldn't figure out how to be successful. And people would say, well, just pick something. And like, I just can't pick something.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, you know, you play music, you sing, you know, you write, you do all this stuff. Just pick something and just go after it. I'm like, that's not how it works. And literally what it took is it took my wife to have a come to Jesus meeting with me. And pushed me hard. And that's when I said, okay, you know, what are you going to do? And so it started with writing my first book back in, was it 2014, 2015? And then, you know, subsequently writing, you know, total of four books. But that's where it started. And then what happened was, what I found, learned quickly about books is that books don't make you money.
Wait, they don't?
No, they don't. I'm still in the hole from the first book. Yeah. But what they do is they do give you some credibility. And I did all the wrong things. Let me tell you what you do wrong. First of all, you join all these groups and societies and pay thousands of dollars in order to join them, thinking that somehow by joining those groups, that's going to give you the credibility
right.
to make you successful. And what I came to learn was I was operating not out of faith, but I was operating out of what I thought was wisdom, which wasn't. It was just I was spending a lot of money on things that weren't being successful. And so then what happened was I started to see that what I really, really, really came down to doing was I had to finally figure out what my purpose was. Mm-hmm. And my purpose was where I got my focus. So I have a 3A model that I use for purpose. And it's affinity, aptitude, and affirmation. And affinity is, what are you interested in? Regard from the time you were born till now, what are you interested in? What are you passionate about? What do you enjoy doing? That's your affinity. The second circle is aptitude. What are you good at? And you have to be honest with yourself, because this is the second one's hard, because people don't want to admit they're good at something. But right. I had to admit that I was good at a lot of things. And so I had to write those down. And then the key, I believe, to those two things is affirmation, meaning what do other people tell you you're good at? And you don't look necessarily for specific things, but you look for themes within those three circles. And where those three circles overlap in a Venn diagram, that little area is where you're probably going to find something that will signify where your purpose belongs. And let's be clear on purpose. The psychological definition of purpose is something that gives you meaning that makes a positive impact on the world around you. And for the longest time in my life, I worried about making money. And that was a problem. Instead of saying, well, what have I been put on this earth to do?
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. I was wrong there too, because it was, what am I on this earth to be? Who am I on this earth to be?
Because yeah, I'm not to get to that.
Yeah, because we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. What am I? Say that again. What am I? Because it hit me in a certain way. So repeat that again.
Yeah. Who am I here to be?
Yeah.
Not what am I here to do, but who am I here to be?
So a couple things I want you to focus in on for people watching and listening. And, you know, you shared, you were so gracious to share on your social channel. So we had some folks already tune in from your list in the comments. If you got comments for Jay, type them out. You got comments for me, type them out. We'll answer them in real time. But, you know, that purpose of who you are to be, was that part of your wife's challenge statement to you when she's like, Jay, you got to dial into your purpose? Do you remember that moment?
No, it wasn't that. It was more of, you got to do something. You got to change, because this isn't working.
Yeah.
And she had to really, you got to stop it. You got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. You got to stop dwelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you a little book that kind of changed my life. I think it was called Business Secrets from the Bible. And it was by Rabbi Daniel Lappin. That's what I remember the most. And he, in that book, I was listening to the book. I bought the Audible version. And I'd listen to it every day. I work out and listen to it. And one day he said in that book, he said, I'm going to issue a 30-day challenge. I want you to get a notebook. And every morning when you wake up, first thing that you do, I want you to write down between 5 and 10 things that you're grateful for. And so I chose the number 7 because I felt like that's a holy number. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I chose 7. And I wrote at the top of the page the date, and I would write, I'm grateful for, and I would read through it, right? And I would go through and I start writing things out. And when I started, it was things like my house, my wife, my dog, my cup of coffee, you know, it's stuff, right?
Right.
That you have around you. But as the 30 days went on into 60 days, it started becoming, I'm grateful I'm a better person today than I was yesterday. Hmm. I'm grateful for how I am designed. I'm grateful that I have a love in my heart for other people. I'm grateful. Do you hear the change?
Oh yeah, 100%.
And then that went from 60 days to 6 months. And it's been going on for years. In fact, I keep right next to me this gratitude jar. This is my gratitude jar.
Very cool.
And I put all my gratitude cards in there, and I have gratitude cards, and I write the gratitude cards. Now, here's the beautiful thing, folks, for you, for those of you wondering why that's so important, is because on any given day, I can reach into that gratitude jar and pull out something, and I'm still grateful for those same seven things that I was grateful for whenever I wrote them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a friend in my network. There's some challenges in life for her right now. And I messaged her privately and I just said, you know, hey, I get it. I've actually been through, there's a flood in her house right now. I've had that a year ago this month. A year ago this month, as I had my whole left leg rebuilt and I had to quickly jump up out of the chair in a painkiller induced moment and stop the flood. So I've been there. But I said, understand there's a reason for this challenge. You'll have to ask yourself and your higher power why that is and what is meant for you right now. However, it may feel like a 100-year flood to you in the moment, but there are other people that have actually had that. Mm. And so the gratitude in this moment is that it isn't a 100-year level flood. Mm. It is something you, no doubt in my mind, will be able to handle because of who you are. And that practice of, and power of gratitude, it is so powerful. It's like one of those common things. Like there's often lists of what do the millionaires do? And, you know, what do the most embodied people do who you want to emulate, who you're thankful for in your life? They're practicing gratitude every day. And they have a system for it. Mm-hmm. So I love that you shared that. So I'm sorry to kind of interject. We were on the 3A method. Mm-hmm. So affinity, affirmation, we touched on.
Aptitude.
Yeah.
It's what's interesting is when I help people walk through this thing, and I've got a new client that I'm working with right now who I'm walking through this with him because he's not happy with where he's currently at. He's mid-40s, not happy where he's at, and he wants to change and he's not sure what to do. As I walk people through this and we start seeing the themes of his life, right? What he's really interested in and what he's really good at and what people tell him he's good at. It's interesting that some of the themes that come out are, you know, for him, that he's got this thing about working with and promoting and encouraging others that's in there. And all the themes keep leaning that way. From the time he was a child, encouraging others, playing well with others, things that he's good at. He's a good coach with kids. He's a great leader in his business, in his position. People tell him he's good at getting along with others, that he's great at encouraging them and standing up for others and advocating for others. And so there's this theme, right, of who he is, mm-hmm. you know, as an advocate for others, as somebody who can lead and coach others, but in his job, he's not doing that.
Mm-hmm. So there's a daily struggle.
Right, because he's not living out his real purpose. He's not being who he's supposed to be. He's working, doing in a job, but he's not being who he's designed to be. And I'm writing a new book right now called If Who You Are Is What You Do, Who Will You Be When You Don't Do That Anymore?
Oh. Love it.
If who you are is what you do, who will you be when you don't do that anymore? Mm. And the fact is, Jeff, that we've been labeled our entire life, son, father, brother, sister, daughter, wife, husband, banker, tech guy. We've got all these labels. And what do? They describe what we do.
Yeah.
They describe everything that we do. And I remember interviewing a guest on my show once. And, you know, we do that after green room thing. Mm-hmm. That you have to show, like, you know, show's over. And we were talking about his purpose, right? Finding purpose in your work. And I said to him, I said, so what gives you purpose? And he said, my kids. I said, how old are your kids? And he said, you know, 13 or 14, something like that, you're teenagers. And I said, well, when they're grown and gone, what's your purpose?
How'd that hit?
Silence, just like we had right there.
Yep. Yep.
Because that might be your why right now.
But yeah, it's a good one.
Right. But it's not your purpose.
Yeah.
Because if it was your purpose is lasting.
Yep.
And it comes out of your authenticity of being, right? Being authentic to who you really are. Not what you post, right? Yep. Which, by the way, I've written books on social media, but it's so frustrating because people think that people don't understand that what people do on that slice of life is not who they are. That's not authenticity.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless they read your book.
Right.
Then they start to do that.
Right. Well, because we look at life in pictures, but it's a movie.
Mm.
So we get a slice of a picture and we go, oh, that's awesome. But you didn't see the whole movie.
Right.
Because if you were to see the whole movie, the movie's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It gets Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's a movie and the film keeps going.
Yeah.
You got to see them in Fiji. You got to see a picture of them in Fiji. Oh, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
Really? Wait till you see the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you watching what it took to get to Fiji? And, you know, like there's something floating around now on social media. It's a young kid, probably like 19 to 21, with a lime green exotic car in front of a house. And the caption was, I grinded and hustled to buy this $3 million home. What are you doing with your life? And then somebody points in, actually, this house is for rent on Zillow. They didn't buy this house.
Right. Wait, so, well, here's this.
You have to question if the picture you're looking at is authentic and real in the first place. That once.
Yes. And we have twisted our definition of happiness. Mm-hmm. Happiness does not come from doing things and doing stuff. Happiness is inside of you. It is a choice to be happy.
Yeah.
You have a choice to be happy, regardless of your circumstances. Jeff, you know how I finish my show every week. You're in control of three things: your attitude, your effort, and your resiliency. So I close my show every week, right? But happiness is a choice in your head. And people go, well, you know, traveling would make me happy. No, not really. Traveling will not make you happy. I'll tell you why. Go travel to Israel and see how that goes for you. Mm-hmm. Would that make you happy?
Right.
Go into a desolate country. Does traveling make you? It's not traveling. And they go, well, it's where I go. No, it's not. It's that you're trying to replace something that's empty inside you, when the fact of the matter is you can be happy right here,
yeah,
right now. Jeff, I'm the happiest I'm going to be not because I'm with you, but because I choose to go, God, thank you for giving me another day. I am living in the moment, and this is awesome. I am breathing, living, human being. And hopefully what I'm doing is I'm inspiring others, encouraging others, and carrying along people with me, because I choose to be that way, regardless of my circumstances.
You just so more succinctly and profoundly summed up my happiness geography statement I coach people up on in my world. I actually have a lot of influence in the furniture and mattress space, and because that's one of the industries I'm involved in. And there's one gentleman in this circle who's constantly bemoaning how everyone else's customers, everyone else's locations are fantastic. They happen to live in the number one GDP state in the nation. And so in the like the most affluent county as well. You know, the reality is geography often never cures the problem. Geography isn't the solution. You know, yeah, if you don't like the cold, you can pick up and move to Arizona, but you still might be unhappy. You're just not cold. But eventually you'll be cold, because right now when it's like 65 degrees and sunny here in Pennsylvania, we're like shorts and t-shirt weather. Out there, they're in like parkas and hats and gloves. So it's all relative, right? But that happiness point, that's that focus on happiness. So what are some ways you help people focus on happiness and have them bring themselves happiness?
Well, it's about mindset. So most of my work, I tell people most of my work is mindset work, right? And, you know, there's four basic mindsets that I you know, Carol Dweck has been great. You know, Dr. Dweck has been great about mindset work. And Dr. Ryan Gottfredson has been awesome about mindset work. But there's four basic mindsets I try to help people with. Growth versus fixed is the first mindset, right? You can tell the difference. Fixed mindset people believe that things will never change. They're just going to be the way there is. You know, how many times you've heard somebody say, oh, he'll never change, she'll never change. Well, that's not a growth mindset. Growth mindset means that you believe that others can change and you believe you can change, right?
Yeah.
That's growth,
yeah.
Right? When we get stuck in fixed, it's over. Because then what you believe is that this is the best as it can be. It can't get any better. That's not a growth mindset, right? There's inward versus outward mindsets, right? It's, you know what? We all want to take care of ourselves. But as I told you earlier, my problem was I was doing it for the money. That was inward versus going, I'm skilled to help people. Don't worry about the money. Just I'm skilled to help people. That's the outward mindset. You know, how many times have you been driving down the interstate or the highway, folks? And, you know, the lanes are about to cut down into one lane. How many of you will speed up so that the other person can't get in? And then how many people will let the person get in front of you? That's inward versus outward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. That's a fantastic practice. I often, you know, test myself. You know, I think, you know, there, I always butcher quotes and principles, but, you know, one of the rules of Stoicism is how you respond mm-hmm. in the moment, not the external things. Yeah. And the driving down the highway, you know, the person in the left lane going slow, they don't wake up with this grand scheme to mess up Jeff or Jay in their day. They got their own day. And maybe that person in front of you just, you know, maybe they're on the way to the hospital to visit their grandmother for the last time.
Yeah.
And they're just like lost in their own mind. And that ability to have empathy in that moment, even though it disrupts you. Yeah, the cutoff thing, that's another great example. Sorry to interrupt.
No. It's called fundamental attribution error in psychology, right? So fundamental attribution error is this. What we do is we will make up a story of what we believe to be true, but not knowing the real truth. So we attribute some sort of personality defect when we don't know what the real reason for the behavior. So the person cuts us off, like you said. We've already got, you know what, that lousy, you know, right? We've already said that, right? But the truth of the matter is, they may be on their way to a hospital.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody is sick. So we make the error of attributing some sort of a personality to this person versus going, well, I don't know what their behavior is. But right. Clearly they're in a hurry. So I need to allow them to go because I'm not in that big of a hurry, am I?
Really? Right.
So I think, so that's the other two, just real quickly, are open versus closed mindset. You know, we live in a world that's so black and white today and everything is either this way or this way. And the fact of the matter is we live in gray area. All of us live in the gray and the gray area is huge, but we don't want to talk about the gray area. You're either right or you're wrong. You either voted this way or this way. There's no in-betweens. And, you know, when we could get to an open mindset, I'm not saying you compromise your beliefs. I'm just saying be open to listening to the other side.
Yep.
Hear their argument, hear their point. And listen, because we don't even want to listen. Instead, we want to just spout out, we're right, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ryan Gofferson said this to me once when it came to this. He said, you know what? Soft front, stiff back. Have a soft front, but hold on to your values.
Yeah.
Right. And then the final mindset that I like to work on is prevention versus promotion. As human beings, we are more prone to be concerned about what we might lose versus what we might gain. And this is where most of my clients get stuck. They're afraid to lose what they already have and not willing to take a risk of what the opportunities could be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of life is risk. Every day you wake up, you are taking a risk at living. You're taking a risk to live. Mm-hmm. Every day you are risking to live, and yet you won't risk your purpose. You'll be stuck in a job that you hate because it pays you a salary and it gives you benefits, and you're miserable and you hate it. Every Sunday night before you go to bed, you get anxious and you're dreading it because you know Monday morning's coming and you can't stand it. But you will not leave that job because you're more worried about what you might lose versus what you have an opportunity to gain.
Yeah. That's, I want to spend some time on that, because I think it's where, you know, folks tuning in, whether they grab it live, by the way, we do this show live every Tuesday, social media channels, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. You might be picking it up on audio, perfectly okay. Wherever you do, please give us a like, a subscribe, a follow, because you'll get amazing guests like Jay piped into your world, delivered for you at probably just the right time, because that's the way these things work. But you need to be the one to hit that button, and we'd appreciate that because it helps get our show seen and heard and followed a little bit better. So my purpose is to be that living example of courage, show people there is courage in a broken world. And I'm somebody who stands in front of you as a broken person. What I want is this hole in my heart that was gashed open as a child from the abuse I suffered. I want that hole. And every time I talk about that, it's like it closes, right? A little bit each time. And I'm sure someday soon we're approaching where it will be closed. I can't ever forget, but I can be 100%. I can decide to be happy about it. And I can stand in rooms now and stand on shows like this and freely talk about my past, because my purpose is to show people it's possible to live as an example of courage, because those you lead, whether that's your family, your coworkers, they need that example around them. Because as you said, so many people aren't living in and within and for their purpose. So how are you working in the work you do to really bring that forward for people?
Well, I think the other, you know, we talked about affinity up to an affirmation, right? And help them walk through that. And then, you know, help people with the mindset piece, you know, as well. But then there is some other things that you kind of have to do to kind of where you got to get to know yourself. Because most people don't know who they are. And I want to challenge listeners here with something. If I were to ask you what your top five core values are, could you list them off to me right away?
Right.
Because if you don't, and by the way, when I say core values to you, listeners, when I say that to you, I am not saying the core values that you think you live by. But if you were to ask your closest friends what they thought your core values were, that you're living what those core values are. And if you don't like those core values, what is it about you need to change?
Yeah.
Because I remember getting a life lesson 28 years ago. I was single and I dated and I was feeling miserably in the dating world. And I'll never forget Henry Osler, who was a guest pastor at our church, grabbed me after church one day and looked up at me and grabbed me by the shoulders. And he said to me, Jay, stop looking for the right person and become the right person. And I would challenge all of you to stop trying to find the right thing and become the right person. It doesn't have to be marriage. It could be your job. Become the right person. Become the person that somebody else wants to hire. Become the person that is the entrepreneur. Become the person that leads their own company. Become the person that people desire. Become the person that you, that is the potential of who you are inside, that you've covered over for so long because you're worried about what everybody else thinks, because you've got to do what everybody else tells you is the right thing to do, except what is right for you.
Yeah.
That's the person you have to become. And that's what I encourage out of my folks. And we do this in a variety of ways. I give them some assessments that we take a look at their personality. We do some strengths and those type of things. And then we start working around those and we start going, are you really working within your strengths? And are you really working with who you are?
Yeah.
And authenticity is so important. It's a word that we throw around, but people don't understand it. Authenticity is not about the clothes that you wear. It's not about the external trappings. Authenticity is what's in your heart. Is that what you live by? And it doesn't mean that if you think that you're a curmudgeon, you get to be a curmudgeon, because that's not authentic. All right. Authentic people have purpose. And if you recall what I said, is that it's personally meaningful and it makes a positive impact on the world. That's not a curmudgeon. That's right. Not a mean-spirited person. That's not authentic. Authentic people help other people.
Yeah.
Through your own authenticity.
Yeah. All of that's fantastic. I'm going to just step back to paint the example through my own self, right? So you challenged people listening and watching, don't deliver the answer that you think others want to hear. Those are my words, kind of paraphrasing your words, right? And so that answer for me, what do I want out of life? And my answer is that hole in my heart fixed. I've got the notebooks. I've got plenty of notebooks with plenty of things that I wanted that were material things, success-oriented things, not embodied things, not me establishing, okay, what is that complete foundation I need to explode my purpose? And when I got comfortable with just saying that out loud, I want this hole in my heart fixed. I want it patched shut. I want to be whole again as a person that can be empathetic and understanding and lead people and all the good things that come with it. Once I got comfortable saying that, things really began to change in a very, very positive way. It's not glamorous. It's not something you can post on social media easily. But boy, is it powerful.
It is. It is powerful. And I think, you know, Jeff, we're all broken vessels. All of us are broken vases, if you will, or vases, if you don't like the word vase, vase.
Tomato, yeah. Tomato, vases, right. Vases. Yep.
But we're all broken and we glue ourselves back together. But can I tell you the beautiful thing about being a broken vase that's being glued back together? When the vase was whole and you put a light in it, nobody could see it. Mm-hmm. But when I put a light in a broken vase, the light shines through the cracks.
I love that.
And so I'm glad I'm broken, because then the light can come through where I didn't allow it to come through before, because I've got holes. I've got holes that light can come through now, that others can see and make me more relatable. And that's part of my authentic who I am, that those horrible things that either I've done or were done to me are part of my broken past.
Yeah.
And yet those are the exact holes where the light can breathe through.
Yep. That's beautiful. I love it.
And I think that's where people have to get themselves. I think that's where people have to get themselves to, is they have to understand that brokenness is okay. brokenness is all right. Because, you know, we're all broken, but when we get our going through our healing process and we're healing from our brokenness, and you have those cracks and those shards and those pieces are missing, right? You know what? If you can hold on to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, gentleness, humility, faithfulness, and self-control, if you can hold on to those very tenets inside of a broken vessel, and that light shines through you, that's when people can change, because they can see the light through your brokenness. That makes us authentically relatable in a way that someone who tries to hide behind the shame and embarrassment of their past can't shine a light through, because it's the only thing that's in there is bitterness and anger and resentment and victimhood, right? There's no light in there.
Right.
But when we recognize our brokenness, and we recognize that brokenness is exactly what I needed to be able to relate to others and to be able to shine a light, because I've got forgiveness, I've got love, I've got joy in the moment every day.
Yeah.
There's peace in there. That light shines through those cracks, and it's so relatable to others. I tell people all the time, don't be ashamed of your brokenness. Gosh, we need more authentically broken people, and that really is all of us, to shed their good light.
Yeah. Boy, I love all of that. I mean, it's so great. I'm so glad that you shared it in that way. You know, it makes me think, you know, on a personal level, our family, these next few years are going to be difficult, you know, with parents aging, some health concerns with some parents. My teenage sons love their grandparents. Even down to, our dogs are old. You know, our pets are all of our, well, 3 out of 5 pets are old, you know, and I was thinking about it this morning in my time, for gratitude and thinking and reflecting and meditation. All right. All of this, it's a test. And that's okay. You know, death is okay. It happens in life. Change is going to happen. It happens in life. This is all for me to really show my sons what a leader and a father does in times of struggle, in times of crisis. And that's the way I reflected on it. And I just have to bring forth that model of leadership and that model of strength and resilience and faith and goodness, and show my sons that and be there for my wife, you know, be there for everybody. And that's how I'm looking at it. I'm not looking at it as, oh boy, this is a lot of things. Oh yeah, the dog's acting up again. This is coming up with this one. And, you know, this is happening over here and this is happening over there. Nope. It's just all, you're built for this. You like to say, tell me I can't, and I'm going to go do it. Right. That's how I go. And just in reflecting on that, it's like, yep. So a lot of peace came in that moment.
So I think I saw you write something on social media the other day, I think kind of related to this, you know, about when things happen, come up, and you're trying to think about, you know, how you respond to it.
Yeah.
The wrong question to ask is why.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the three questions I've learned is, there's three questions I learned is, one is, what am I supposed to learn from all this?
Yep.
That's the first question. How do I want to be through all this? And then the final question is, who does God want me to be in all of that? And I think about those three questions whenever, now, I didn't before, but I do now, when tragedy hits. And I think about, my mom's 91 years old, right? So I know, you know, my time with her is limited.
Yeah.
I mean, there's chances of her living, you know, another 90 years is not going to happen. So, right. We recognize that. And I've lost animals before. right? And that I love dearly, by the way. My two dogs who we loved, you know, we had to put them down. And it's tragic.
Yep.
You know, lost friends, right? And oftentimes you go, why? But it's just the wrong question.
Yeah.
What can I learn from this? What is the lesson in this? What is it about this that can make me better? How do I want to be as a result of this? And then who does God want me to be? How does he see me? I know this isn't a religious program. I get it, but...
Let's go there.
I believe firmly, it's my number one core values is faith. And I believe that the God who created this world, and I believe that, mm-hmm. right? I believe that when he looks down, he looks at me and says, okay, listen, if you believe me and you trust in me, then you have to demonstrate that even yeah. in the toughest of circumstances.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded of a book, of a verse in James, I think it's James 1:4. And it is, consider it all pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance do its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking for anything. The hardest part and that whole thing is consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the hardest thing to do. But when we can do it and we understand that the testing of our faith is like going to the gym and adding weight to the bar. I cannot make the muscle stronger unless I add weight to the bar. If you do the same weight every day, you may look better, but you're not any stronger.
Yeah.
The idea is to build strength, right? You got to test the muscle. You have to test it. You have to do the same thing with your faith. Because why? Because it leads to maturity, right? And completeness, not lacking for anything. Well, think about it. When you go into the gym and you add weights and you get stronger and stronger, what happens? I could do more.
Yeah.
I have more confidence. I have more abilities. I'm able to do more things with my family, my friends, right? That's the point of who does God want me to be in those moments?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I love that we went here. I was going to bring it up anyway, as we come to the top of our time together, the faith conversation in question. Thank you, Chris, for putting it on screen.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Fantastic. You know, we're not, Jay, myself, really, I think a lot of people like us, we're not here to convert you. but I am here to challenge the thought that if some feel this life is all just coincidental, and we're all just bumping around at random, and the people you see with immense strength and resolve and purpose, that was just coincidental. I think that's a disservice to them as a person. And I think it's a disservice to yourself because you're shortchanging the opportunity for you to learn, for you to find happiness, for you to find purpose, for you to find joy and be a light for that next person beside you that you think you're just coincidentally bumping into. You know, and so there's my pops tuning in. I showed my dad, who has never been a technological guy at all. He is now, there's interesting things happening in the world when he's able to get on Facebook Live and comment, all the way from Guatemala, no less. So good to have him here. But, I think if you're going to believe anything, at least not believe that it's just coincidental. And then from there, you're going to have to, you'll find your groove. And you'll come along to a belief that Jay has and that I have. I love what you just shared there about faith. Fantastic. Rewind that tape if you need to hear it again.
Well, let's talk about coincidence. All right, you want to get rid of coincidence? Just read the Book of Esther in the Bible. Okay, I know, I'm sorry, folks. No, I'm not. Because you need to hear this. Purim is coming up, right? And Purim is the celebration of Esther because the Jews are going to be killed because of Haman. Anyway, in the Book of Esther, by the way, it's the only book in the Bible where the name of God is never mentioned. God is never mentioned in the book. Mm. But what's interesting is there's all these things that look like coincidence that lead to the success of Esther saving the Jewish people. in the book. Everything, the point where Haman falls on top of Esther and the king walks in just as Haman's on top of Esther, the queen, right? And it the scene is just, is crazy. You're almost laughable, where he trips over the couch, lands on top of her. The king walks in and says, "What in the world are you doing?" Right?
Yeah.
And we go, coincidence. No. People, what you see is the system is rigged. He's already rigged the system, man. There's no coincidences. Right. The system is rigged. He's in control of it. When Queen Vashti got thrown out of her queenhood and here was this harem of women and he chose Esther, and you say, well, that's pretty random. No, it was rigged.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be. It's how it all turns out. It was exactly the person it was supposed to be, right? Esther lost her parents. She was raised by her uncle Mordecai. Well, that's kind of random, isn't it? No, it was rigged. So what we have is we think, oh, it's coincidence. No. That's why we don't ask why.
Right.
Because it's not a coincidence. Yeah. The system is planned.
Yeah.
Right?
Grand design.
It's a grand design. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
If you're willing to accept it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you fight it, that's when you don't like it.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to surrender, and I'm using that word very carefully, surrender yourself to it and take life as it comes, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, and you surrender yourself to it and not focus on the outcome, but stay with the process.
Yeah.
That's when life is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the, you know, for the folks that maybe what we've just shared in the last 5-10 minutes, we've got you thinking. I'd put forth two things for you to take from this moment. One, you know, the stories within the Bible. Let's just say it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, these stories and lessons, which will dovetail to my second point, are so valuable that they were kept and saved because the Bible's preprinting press, right? Which I think everybody should read often, if not daily, preprinting press stuff, because it's valuable. The lessons are valuable because when warring factions stormed the village, what did the elders in the church do? They grabbed the stories and they brought them forward. And that's happened for thousands of years leading up to the printing press, when things just became easier. And now today, we talked about social media and the inauthenticity of it. There's, you know, you look at anything online, you have to immediately question, is it real? You don't have to question any of that within the Bible if it's real. And from a lesson standpoint, if you want to just dip your toe, read Proverbs, one book, one chapter a day for 30 days, like you said about gratitude. If you take anything from this show, practice gratitude once a day for 30 days. And read Proverbs one chapter a day. Just tell yourself, I'm reading great business and life lessons, and see how you feel. See if you think it's a coincidence. Mm. Think if there's not some grand design. I guarantee there'll be something that happens by the end of week one that you're going to say, huh, that's pretty profound. That's what I think.
Now listen, I agree with you. Matter of fact, I had a pastor of a church say to me one time, read Proverbs by day to teach you how to live and read Psalms by night to teach you how to pray. Hmm. And he reminded me that there are 31 chapters of Proverbs.
Yep.
There are 30 and 31 days of the month. So if you're not sure what your day is that you should be reading your Proverbs, well, today's the 12th, start with chapter 12. Yep. And then go to chapter 13. It's awesome. You know, if you are married or getting ready to be married, or you are just madly in love with your person, read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 to her on that and bless her greatly. I know that I do that for my wife, is I read Proverbs 31 to her every Friday is what we do Friday night. And I read her those verses because I want to bless her greatly. And I encourage you to do that too as well.
Yeah. Huh. There's that grand design thing about having a happy relationship. It's coincidental.
No, it's not.
Right?
It's not coincidental. None of it's a coincidence. It's all been designed. I know I've tried to fight it and I failed. trying to do it my way. Surrendering to it is much easier. I'm just telling you that right now.
That's right. Love it. Jay, my friend, I'm so honored and grateful that I've gotten to know you through this medium we call podcasting, getting to know you in life, having a deeper connection with you. Look, if you're listening, if you're watching, go to watching. I guess that's doing both at the same time. if you're listening, watching, or watching, go to jayizzo.com. A lot of goodness there, a lot of great ways to connect with Jay, help you out in life and in business. You can pick up one of his four incredible books. I'm sure there are, each one is pointed at you a different way for how it might hit you at this moment in life. But you can connect with Jay on all the social media channels we have linked here with the show. His podcast show was fantastic. It's called A New Direction. You can pick it up seemingly every and anywhere. Just search for A New Direction and however you're going to take this in. Jay, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you for your time.
Oh man, thank you, Jeff, aka Chris, which is how we started the show. No, thanks, Chris, advising Jeff. You're awesome. You know, you're a brother, man. I appreciate you greatly, and I love your work. And I listen, folks, get space for leadership. I'm just telling you, it's brilliant and it's beautiful. I have defiled it. Trust me, I have got all sorts of yellow all over this book, so it's love really it. Good. So get yourself a copy.
Thank you for that, Jay. Thanks so much for taking the time to be here today. I really appreciate you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Everyone else, you're going to get the world preview of the other bookend of the show, The Big Ticket Life. That's up next. But until next time, we'll see you next week on The Big Ticket Life. Take care. You've just heard another impactful show on The Big Ticket Life, challenging leaders to lead with courage and work to solve the clash that exists between those they lead and the lives they live. Now is the time to focus on leveling up the humans you lead and the impact you can create in their lives. It's time to lead with courage and be a living example of courage. I'd love for you to go to thejeffg.com/mission. That's thejeffg.com/mission right now and book a call with me to discuss how to integrate these examples of courage into your leadership, how to approach your team with vulnerability, and most importantly, so we can plan out how you'll invest and level up the humans you lead for maximum healing and impact so you can be the leader your people need every day. Visit thejeffg.com/mission. That's thejeffg.com/mission right now and book a call with me today.